welcome. This is Dr. Susan Kolb of Temple Health Radio Show, and today I'm very pleased to have as my guest Dr. Joseph Pasilevac, who is the author of Surviving Cancer, The Use of Complementary and Alternative Methods in the Treatment of Breast Cancer. Dr. Joe and I have some things in common. We both realize that functional medicine and a more holistic and even a psycho-spiritual approach to cancer was needed rather than just surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, cut, slash, and burn, as they say. And even though I'm a surgeon, I recognize that some people don't want surgery and that there are alternatives to treating cancer. So I'm very pleased to have Dr. Joe on my show today because we're going to talk about surviving cancer. Hey, Dr. Joe, how are you today?
Doing pretty good, Susan. Thank you.
So where are you calling in from today?
I'm practicing in New York City right now.
Great, great. Well, if people want to get a hold of you, then they can do that. Do you have a website?
If you just go to jebhealth.com.
Okay.
That's give them a lead.
jebhealth.com.
Yes.
Okay, great. And then your book, Surviving Cancer, is available on Amazon or any of the bookstores. I hear Barnes & Noble may be closing, so we may not have any more bookstores. It's going
Holy
to be an
cow.
Error gone by.
So. Well, that's too bad.
It is too bad. All of us old folks like the bookstores. We like to go
and
look at
all the books. And a lot of this stuff is going electronic anymore, you know?
Yeah, it really is. The Kindle and Nooks are taking over. I had to get one because a lot of my books that I'm interviewing people on are only in electronic form.
Uh-huh.
That was interesting, yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you became interested in holistic and functional medicine along with traditional medicine.
Well, basically, Susan, it was a matter of observation of what was going on with some of my patients. You know, I practiced surgery for 30 years, and, you know, way back when, I remember patients coming in and telling me they were doing such and such, and, you know, I didn't know anything about it, but I'd listen to what they were saying. But slowly, this began to add up. And I even had experiences where, as a vascular surgeon or blood vessel surgeon, I'd have patients come in with a swollen leg or a cold or painful one leg, and their doctor would send them to me to make sure it wasn't a vascular problem. And going through a bunch of testing, the most I could do was rule out, no, I don't see any serious circulation problem. And then, lo and behold, some of these patients would come back to me, and they go, hey, Doc, I went to the chiropractor, he popped my back, and my leg is completely better. And, you know, little things like that, you begin to...
Right, get your attention.
And you begin to, wonder about the structure and everything. Then I had a patient who really got into Bernie Siegel's techniques, you know, the meditation and the imagery. And, boy, that caught my... there was a scalp. I did a lumpectomy for breast cancer, and she went up for the radiotherapy, okay? And I was so used to my patients, after they finished the radiotherapy, they'd come back to me, and I'd just check them over. All of them had kind of like a sunburned skin from the irradiation. Well, this gal came, and the radiotherapists were always just giving them cortisone cream to put on that. Well, I had this gal come back after her treatment. I says, boy, your skin really looks good. You've been using that cortisone cream? And she goes, no. She says, I took my Walkman, and when I'd lay down for my treatments, I'd go through and listen to Bernie Siegel's tapes and did some imagery that just the beam was going to hit the cancer cells and spare the good tissue, and that's where I'm at. You know, there's another observation. And slowly
that's
over the
amazing,
years...
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, they just added up.
Power of mind. Yeah, that's true.
So basically, that's, and then I became frustrated because, you know, you as a surgeon also, you know, somebody sent to you and you're screening them for surgery and you see they're on 20 meds and you're just going to yourself, this is crazy. Why? 20 meds? You know, we're just covering up a bunch of stuff.
Sleep all day.
Yeah, and causing other symptoms. So I became frustrated and I went back and got another doctorate in natural medicine. which I don't feel is the total answer, but it gives me a broader way to look at both sides of the fence and things to offer to patients. And obviously some of the things you do, I'm not that familiar with. I am aware that, there are techniques out there that work pretty good, but I'm just fascinated, you know, and excited about talking with you a little bit here.
Well, what I wanted to start off with is an incident that occurred when I was a second-year resident. And this was, we're on a journey, as you probably have figured out. And this is one of the first things on the journey that really got my attention. It was a 20-year-old guy who had had a sarcoma in his chest, and it had been treated with traditional means, but then it recurred in his abdomen. And it was about a grapefruit-sized tumor on CAT scan. And then we took him into surgery, and we used to start surgery at 7 in the morning, but radiology didn't get in until 9. I'm sure you've had this experience. So
yes,
I open
yes.
him up, and I can't find the tumor at all. So I call radiology, and of course they're not in. So I close him back up, and I go out to talk to his parents, and, you know, it's kind of like good news, bad news situation. You know, the good news is we didn't find any tumor. The bad news is, you know, we've opened him up. And because the CAT scan showed the clips that were in his chest, we knew it was his CAT scan. But that was the first spontaneous remission that occurred within a week that I had ever seen. And so that started my journey on discovering spontaneous remissions. And as I saw more and more spontaneous remissions, I thought to myself, we've got to understand the physics behind this. Because, you know, without understanding how it occurs, you're not going to be able to understand the phenomena. And that's when I started interviewing all the physicists and, one of the founders of superstring theory, Maku Kichu, Amit Goswami on quantum theory, and a bunch of other physicists who are dealing with the theory of everything. The theory of everything is, or TOE as it's called, has to explain all of the forces that physics has observed and how they're related to one another. And the important point is that with the theory of everything, you can't explain it with just a third-dimensional viewpoint. You have to have a multidimensional viewpoint to explain it. And Amit Goswami and I have talked about spontaneous remission extensively. And basically, he calls it downward causation. In other words, the higher levels of consciousness, which exist in a higher dimension than what we're aware of, although we are also participating in that dimension, when certain things shift, it immediately comes down to the third dimension. It goes through the, you know, the fifth, the fourth, the third, and when it hits us here, the typical thing is the patient experiences a wave of energy that's kind of like a warm wave of energy that starts at their crown and goes to their feet, and by the time it gets to their feet, there's no more tumors, and many of them had metastatic disease. One of my friends was riddled with breast cancer, and she was had it in her gut, and it was causing perforations, and she was about to go in for emergency surgery, but they decided to wait overnight so she'd be NPO, and she had this phenomena happen to her. And when she woke up, she was hungry, and there were no more tumors anywhere. So, you know, that's that kind of my education on spontaneous remission, is that it's a downward causation from a higher realm. Something shifts, and then the third-dimensional reality within minutes totally shifts. And, there's spontaneous remissions that occur more slowly, like over 6 to 8 weeks. And Dr. Goswami thinks that that's something to do with the immune system kicking in, where before the immune system wasn't kicking in. So there's probably different levels of the speed of spontaneous remission. But the ones I've observed have been the really quick ones, which kind of led me to try to figure out what was going on.
Well, and my comments on that would be, first of all, the practice of medicine today, as we know it, is probably 20% science and 80% we're flying by the seat of our pants. You know, things work, and we don't know exactly why. The second thing is, you know, why are some patients able to develop this spontaneous healing? You know, what do they use, or why can they do it and someone else can't? And this is the difference between individuals as far as beliefs and also as far as what they're doing as far as the groundwork to let the body heal.
Yeah, I think what I see is the will to live is very important and following your spiritual guidance. One of the examples occurred with a friend of mine who was taking care of a judge here in town who was quite famous and quite rich, but he had cancer, had lung cancer, metastatic. And my friend heard to take him to the Mount Perrin Church, and he did, and then the judge had a similar experience in the church and was cancer-free. So, you know, the judge hired the person that I'm talking about who had spiritual hearing, and then the person took him where he was supposed to be. You know, my other friend had her spontaneous remission in a hospital bed with nobody there. Nobody, I mean, people may have been praying for her, and she was certainly spiritual. But I would say that when you're not quite done with what you're supposed to do here, that God can set the reset button. That's the only thing I can relate it to. If your soul wants you to stay here, then the body can be rid of cancer or other diseases and start anew. And, I mean, Lourdes is an example of that. There's plenty of documented cases at Lourdes. There's plenty of documented cases in a book Noetic Science put out called Spontaneous Remission. And so I think that's why I tell people never give up hope. And if your will to live is strong enough, and that is in the soul plan, in other words, your death date is not looming right before you, it can occur. But of course, getting over the fear of death with cancer, I suspect both my parents died of cancer after a long time, having much longer time than they would have normally survived it. But I knew that their death dates were there, and I believe that they both had cancer because they were supposed to get over the fear of dying and say, if you're in a car wreck and die immediately, you're not going to get over the fear of dying. You're just going to be alive 1 minute and dead the next. But people with cancer really have to go through all those seven stages of death acceptance.
Well, let me ask you this too, okay? And I'm going to start this off with a little story. You know, Mr. Jones is standing on the front porch of his farmhouse, and it's beginning to rain, and these guys drive by on the road, and they go, hey, Jonesy, you better hop in here and evacuate because that water's going to continue to rise and it's going to flood. And Mr. Jones says, ah, no, you guys go on. I've got faith in God. You know, I'm just going to stay here. So next thing, the water's up to the house, and these guys come by in a rowboat, and they're rowing through. And they go, Jonesy, water's going to keep going up. You better hop in the boat here. Get out of here. Jones says, nope, I've got faith in God. He's going to take care of me. So next thing, he's on the roof, and the water's up covering the house. And this helicopter comes by, and the guys call down with a megaphone, you know, Jonesy, grab a hold of the ladder, get up here. The water's continuing to rise. And Jones says, nope, I got faith in God. He'll take care of me. Well, the next scene is he's up at the pearly gates, and he's madder than heck as he approaches St. Peter, and he says, what in the world? I put all my faith in God, and look where it got me. And St. Peter goes, Jonesy, God sent you got those guys in the car, the guys in the rowboat. He sent a helicopter, you know. And my point being is, you know, and you tell me, give me some feedback on this, Susan, because I have patients that go, you know, yes, I've got faith in God, and he's going to take care of the disease, and they don't do very well. But what I also see is they're failing to do the groundwork, the nutritional groundwork, or whatever is necessary, along with that, which, to me, God wants us to do the groundwork. You know, we're not just supposed to hand it to him, and he takes care of us. Give me some feedback on that with what you've seen with your patients.
Well, I think that's exactly true. We need to talk a little bit about what kind of things set you up for cancer. One of the universal things that alternative medical doctors understand that it's a biological terrain. In other words, the soil of the body that can grow cancer. And that soil has a lot of sugar. It's more acid than alkaline. It may have too many, you know, hard proteins and fats to digest rather than, you know, a more a diet and fruits and vegetables with less meat protein, more alcohol, all of these, because alcohol turns into sugar. All of these things are well known in many forms of cancer to increase the risk of cancer. Of course, there's cigarette smoke that has carcinogens. There's radiation exposure. There's all sorts of carcinogens in the hydrocarbon family and might be in the plastics that we've been exposed to, especially if they're extreme heat or cold. So there's all these things that increase the terrain to grow cancer. But the thing that I think is most likely to cause cancer is in the psycho-spiritual realm, and that's called biological conflict. And they did surveys of women with breast cancer, and the majority of them had some sort of trauma within 6 months and definitely within a year. And that trauma often involved somebody that was supposed to nurture them or someone they were nurturing. And Dr. Hammer discovered that the biological conflict had a lesion in the brain opposite the breast. So say if you had a biological conflict regarding the death of a child, it would, if you were right-handed and you were the child's mother, it would hit you in the right breast, and the lesion would be found in the breast, representation in the brain on the left side of the brain. And he's, I think it was 35,000 people that he did this CAT scan representation of what was called a Hammer lesion. Dr. Hammer put together a treatment program based on biological medicine with everything we've been talking about, the right diet, the right enzymes, the right this and that. And he was getting a 95% cure rate. Of course, they put him in jail because of that, because we won't get into the politics of this, but people who come up with cures for cancer usually end up being incarcerated because they will not cut, slash, and burn like they're supposed to. But in any case, Dr. Hammer probably had the best record of anybody, and he discovered this like many doctors do, because he actually got testicular cancer and his wife got breast cancer within 6 months of having their son brutally murdered. So he had to learn how to, it's the path of the wounded healer. He had to learn how to cure himself and his wife and then figure out the puzzle for other people.
So are these Hammer lesions identified on a CAT scan or an MRI scan of the head?
Yeah, of the head. And when the cancer went away, the Hammer lesion went away. So as the cancer regressed, then you know, you could follow it. But it has something to do with a biological conflict. The breast thing I just gave you, left breast was usually someone who's supposed to be taking care of you, like a husband that cheats on you or an uncle that sexually molests you. Right breast or somebody you're nurturing, often parents, often, sometimes a spouse, most often children, something threatens them. And now, you know a biological conflict has occurred because you get cold. Your extremities get cold. You lose your appetite. You feel like someone punched you. You know, you feel like something hit your energy field, because it did. And Dr. Hammer says the energy drops in the breast in order to preserve the organism so the organism doesn't die. And, of course, animals get cancer, too. So it can happen in the animal kingdom as well. So it's not just, cancer is a protective mechanism to preserve life. And then you get a period of time where you can do things to get rid of the cancer. We think cancer is a death sentence in the U.S., but Europe doesn't think that so much. They think it's more of a chronic disease. We think of it as a death sentence because so many people do chemo and radiation and actually lose their immune systems and die. Whereas in Europe, they don't treat colon cancer with 5-FU. You know, there's a whole bunch of different ways of treating cancer in Europe than the U.S.
Well, and one thing they do in Europe also is some natural things that basically, in my opinion, are decreasing the toxicity. And I've always looked at, could the development of cancer be a mutation of cells? And your body has this tremendous ability to want to survive. So you've got a toxic environment in the body. What, for whatever reason, things have collected over the years. And your body mutates this line of cells because it's trying to develop a line of cells that can survive in this toxic environment. So you cut it out, or you try and treat it, but you don't change the underlying environment. Well, what's going to happen? You're going to see it come back. Well, let me ask you this. Yeah, let me ask you this, Susan. How do you get people to recognize that there is some sort of internal conflict going on that may be contributing to their the development of the cancer?
Well, you know, when they come in, we take a normal history and physical exam, and then they tell me what they want to do and don't want to do. Most of them who come in don't want to do chemo, but some do want to do chemo, but just want help so they don't get so many side effects. I know I had one guy with esophageal cancer, and we treated him with a program just basically things that would help with things, and his oncologist said it was the only patient where his hair didn't fall out and his he didn't have any fatigue, which was amazing. And he had very little pain. Even though he eventually died of his cancer, he responded to the chemotherapy. He had 12 rounds of chemo. But then I went to California and I knew that he had died. I just knew because I was eating dinner and he actually appeared, you know, in my mind's eye there. And I asked him if he died, and he said yes. And I said, well, was there anything we could have done differently? He said, no. He said, I left my current wife. No, my current wife left me in a previous life, and I vowed that I was going to leave her in this one. So it was kind of a karmic thing. And all throughout his treatment, they'd argue. He would tell her he was going to die, and she would argue with him. So that was very interesting. So sometimes cancer is karmic. In other words, you make contracts outside of this dimension that you're going to leave somebody for whatever reason, and then that's what happens because you don't break the contract. And I've had a couple of people in the past that I heard that they were definitely going to leave because of contractual things that were made, say, at the soul level. So some of that stuff, I mean, but we can make their passing much better and less painful. He had very little pain. And he asked me to give a message to his wife, and I did when I got back in town. And she said, oh, yeah, she had gone to a psychic right when he got cancer. And the psychic had told her all of this, that her husband was going to die because it's exactly what I told you. So, you know, that shows you that sometimes things are going on that have nothing to do with anything other than the fact that there's certain contracts made at a higher level. And I would imagine that maybe some of the spontaneous remissions are when people agree at a higher level not to go through with the contract. You know, if they decide to break the contract and do something else, then maybe that's part of a spontaneous remission. But there are things in the physical that we have them do. Basically, the cancer protocols we use are based on immune therapies, anti-cancer therapies, anti-angiogenesis therapies, and detoxification. So the immune therapies, you know, just help the immune system. A lot of them are beta-1,3-glucan, mushroom extracts, things that increase natural killer T cells, things that just make the immune system work better against cancer. The detoxification, that's, we have everything from homeopathic detox to foot baths to ionic foot baths or electrolysis foot baths, lymphatic massage. We do all sorts of detoxification, sometimes chelation, sometimes whatever they need. It depends on what they're toxic with. Hair analysis is good because then you can see what their arsenic levels are and their heavy metals. And then the anti-angiogenesis part is mostly bindweed extract and pectisol. Both of those will decrease blood supply to the tumor, as will thalidomide. Did you know that?
Sure.
They're using thalidomide in prostate trials to decrease blood supply. You know how thalidomide made all those babies without limbs?
Right. No, and it's making a big comeback. Yeah.
Right.
And multiple myeloma is another one of where they're hitting that using the thalidomide.
Right. So there's some drugs that might be able to do that too, which is good news, that aren't so toxic. So then with the anti-cancer therapy, you're probably familiar with many of these, IP6, melatonin in some cases, coenzyme Q10, Bertrisin, curcumin, we have aloe, arborescent, there's a whole list of them. Let's see, graviola, algeic acid, and then, do you know about Dr. Raff's program? That's been pretty good.
Well, and you know, one thing, Susan, I think that you need to point out, though, also to patients, is that, because it seems like everybody in this day and age is looking for that magic bullet, and there are none.
That's just one thing, no.
You know, and they really need some good overall guidelines as far as
healthy living,
and some, you know, and everybody's going to be different. There's not one. That's the problem that I have with the current chemotherapy and radiotherapy programs for many cancers, is you fit into this cookbook and this slot. Well, somebody may be a smoker, somebody may be exercising, somebody may be not, somebody may be eating healthy and some not. And so you throw all these people in the same pot, and then how do you interpret the results? But that's what conventional medicine is hanging their hat on. There, you know, and there are so many variables there. And, you know, the other thing, too, is all the products out there, you know, being able to identify what is really beneficial and what has just been thrown together and labeled as such, and it's really a worthless product. And this is where patients really, I think we're short on having people that can give patients overall guidelines on all of these things, because it takes time. You can't just have a 5-minute appointment with somebody and do this.
Oh,
it takes a long evaluation.
It is, absolutely. Well, you know, the thing, every patient that we evaluate, and it's not just me, Dr. Gould also does cancer treatment. Oftentimes they come to me for surgery, just like they would for you. You know, they're coming in for a lumpectomy or a mastectomy along, and I do the reconstruction at the same time if they have breast cancer. So sometimes they want surgery, but they don't want chemo. But what's nice is you can offer them a program, usually within, I mean, it does cost some money. Usually it's $150 to $250 per month. But this program will allow them to be doing something to prevent the spread of cancer and to kill cancer cells outside the surgery site if they decide to have surgery. But it won't make them decrease their quality of life. In fact, it usually increases their quality of life because we address nutrition. We try to get a lot more fresh foods, more enzymes in their diet. Sometimes they are treated with IV vitamin C, high doses of that, which you have. You might want to speak to that a little bit. You mentioned it in your book. You want to tell us?
Well, one thing I look at is you know, there's a lot of intravenous therapies out there, and I have been looking at stuff as far as it's not practical for many patients to come in and maintain their job and that sort of thing and take a half a day off and come in for intravenous therapies. And so there are some products out there that they encapsulate the agent in liposomes, which make up all of our cell membranes. And, you know, these supposedly, when I first started looking at these, are absorbed directly, go intracellular, and burst open and release the whatever agent they're carrying. Baylor, what's interesting is Baylor has picked up on this, and they're doing a study right now using chemotherapy agents. Can they use small doses of chemotherapeutic agents that will go intracellular and avoid some of the side effects instead of blasting somebody with a high dose? So, but just to give you an example, EDTA, which is typical, the typical agent for removing heavy metals, when I started looking at this, I go, okay, went down and I had an IV chelation done on myself, and measured. I collected urine for 24 hours, measured the heavy metals that were in there. Okay, then 2 weeks later, I took this oral form and did the same thing. The results were identical.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.
You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plasticos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plasticos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plasticos?
Plasticos is in Dunwoody. Plasticos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plasticos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
Hello, sorry about that. We dropped off. Dr. Joe, are you there?
I'm there.
Great.
Anyway,
we were talking about
EDTA. Well, you know what this reminds me of, Susan, is doing surgery when unexpected things come up. Anyway, no, I was talking to you in terms of the EDTA, that using the two different forms, and that convinced me that I was getting blood levels, and normally the other forms of oral EDTA out there are only about 5% absorbed, so you're not getting
right.
the effect. So then if you do this with vitamin C, regular vitamin C, you only get certain blood levels before you begin to pee it out, and you can't achieve any higher blood levels than that. So with this liposomal encapsulated, can you get as high as IV blood levels? And in other words, instead of coming in and getting IV vitamin C once a week, can you be achieving these levels on a daily basis without having to go in for an IV? Same thing with glutathione, all the antioxidants, most of them, if you look at the mechanism, it comes down to they increase the glutathione inside the cell. Well, why don't we just go ahead and give glutathione directly if you can? And that's one of those things, again, it's given intravenously. It can't be given orally because it gets broken down in the stomach. If you give it intravenously, it's been shown that after 3 or 4 minutes, it gets broken down into its component amino acids, which are then absorbed into the cell and put back together. So I always look at, hey, just give the stuff if it'll go intracellular. And, I give you some interesting comments that I've seen from patients going through some detox on these things. They'll come back and they'll go, Doc, look, my age spots went away.
Mm-hmm.
Or, Doc, look, some of my gray hair is going back to its normal color. And then I had several women come in, and they're just thrilled because they said, look, Doc, that saggy skin under my chin is tightened up. And look at the wrinkles. Look at the crow's feet around my eyes. They're less. And, I do think that there's a way to slow down the clock, and maybe we're coming up on some things that may even turn it back a little bit.
So where do people get the liposomal glutathione or... other EDTA or
what I would just refer you to is LIVON livonlabs.com, and just look at the stuff, and they can look at some information there. Obviously, the type of programs that I set up for everybody is different, and that's why I say everybody's different. You got to look at, you can't just take things like a magic bullet, but set it up as a program. Kind of go from there.
Yeah, we use a lot of applied kinesiology, but one of the things that there's two bad things about IV vitamin C, or two potential problems. One is that you need to use non-GMO vitamin C, non-GMO corn vitamin C, which is expensive and harder to get, because as you know, probably GMO corn is actually probably in organic corn right now. They can't keep it out. So, I mean, before too long, probably in 10 years, there'll be no non-GMO corn around. Then the other problem is the FDA is trying to go after IV vitamin C and confiscate it and make it difficult for manufacturers to make it. So a liposomal vitamin C would be very, very useful. It'll probably be some time before they go after that, we hope.
Well, I hope. You know, I just see over the 30 years that I've practiced, you know, the healthcare system has turned into an industry rather than a profession.
Yeah.
And that is the real travesty. In other words, if there's a way, you know, you give somebody $100,000 a year of chemotherapy, it's padding somebody's pocket somewhere along the way. You know, and if you bypass that, you know, are people going to lose jobs or whatever in this so-called industry? And rather than looking at who are we here for, we're here to take care of the patient. You got to do what's best for the patient.
Yeah, there's an interesting story. I think it happened, I think it was at Harvard. There was an orthopedic surgeon who was treating sarcoma with toxins and having... because he was injecting the toxin from this bacteria and creating really high fevers. These people had their metastatic lesions or their big sarcomas just disappear. And that was called Dr. Colley of Colley Toxins. Well, at the same time, radiation therapy was being developed. The problem was you could make more money on radiation therapy than you could on these toxins, as you can imagine. So guess what won out?
Exactly.
Radiation therapy. Yeah. I think if people read the history of cancer, especially Dr. Raymond Royal Rice and his treatment with vibrational medicine, energetic medicine, and what happened to him, there's been a number of people that have come up with successful cancer therapies, and all of them, a lot of them have been imprisoned, and a lot of them actually died in prison, you know, under mysterious circumstances. So you have to really look at the history of cancer to understand that it might be a conspiracy and it might not be a theory. You know?
Well, and that that was during the days when the Journal of the American Medical Association advertised cigarettes, showed the doctors smoking cigarettes.
Right, the doctors were smoking.
You know, the thing about it is, I think that... you have to be aware of is baby boomers who are, you know, getting older now, they are all very intelligent as far as using the internet, and there's a lot of information out there, and so they're aware of all these things. The problem being, you still need a professional to give some guidance, because it's hard for a layperson to go out there and interpret this, all this stuff that comes out.
Well, the real future of cancer therapy is really in electromagnetics. And I'm going to give you some information that is pretty interesting. If you can turn the electromagnetics of the cell, I believe, I may not have this right, but I believe it's from positive back to negative, the cancer goes away. So the thing that's really suppressed in this country is any research into the electromagnetics of cancer, and it's highly, highly suppressed. I mean, to the point of getting visited by government agencies and having to sign contracts and everything. So just know that if you want to really find the magic bullet, if there is one, electromagnetics is the place to look. The other place to look, obviously, is spirituality. If we can unlock the key to spontaneous remission, then we've really done something remarkable. But we really should be living a life with, you know, with the things in mind that we talked about. Less sugar, less animal protein, more fruits and vegetables, more enzymes, more alkalinity, less acidity. But these are things that are cancer preventative that people should do now, irregardless of whether or not they have cancer.
Well, and just remember that chlorophyll is one of the best natural detoxifiers that we've got.
Right.
And, you know, a good example is cilantro. Cilantro chelates mercury.
It does.
Uh-huh. And, you know, these are things.
A lot of people have mercury from their filling.
Right. And
forget your
that's
filling
something.
Bell.
and that's one thing I hear the Dental Association doesn't agree with. They say, oh no, everybody's safe there.
They just came out very similar to how the World Health Organization just came out to say that cell phones could possibly cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually announced now that mercury fillings are probably not better not to use them. I mean, officially. So it's interesting. As we approach 2012, we may actually be getting some of the major things out, at least where they're now official that these things could cause problems.
It's an important thing to look at. And, you know, you've also got to look at how many people are willing to change their lifestyle. I mean, we've got such an industry of fast food right now that's quick and easy and cheap, relatively cheap. Boy, is that ever going to change? I just see, you know, like Obama's health plan with heart disease, for instance, you know, a campaign to stop smoking and give a cholesterol medication and control your blood pressure with more medication. That's a preventive program. You know, it sounds like, again, you're feeding into the industry who's making the drugs.
Is Obama still smoking?
Well, and you got to remember, Susan, you cannot eliminate all the risk factors. You got to. That's my philosophy.
Well, and,
you know,
and if the biological conflict theory is true, then we are all subject to be exposed to that because life is life. You know, children die suddenly. Or get ill and look like they're going to die suddenly. You know, things happen in life all the time that constitute these biological conflicts. So, you know, I guess if you've gone through one or are going through one right now, you might think about changing your lifestyle so that your biological terrain will not be so likely to grow a cancer. And then maybe start on a detox program. I think cancer prevention is way more easier than cancer treatment. So, and knowing the risk factors, you can kind of get your lifestyle in order so that your biological terrain is not such a great soil for growing cancer.
Yeah, it is, and you know, it's like the old food pyramid that was developed years ago. You know, they're changing it somewhat, but I still think it's wrong. I still don't think there's a lot of things that are correct on that. Or when people go to a restaurant and they've got this broccoli on their plate, so there's my serving of vegetables. Well, number one, it's been frozen and processed, and number two, it's been cooked, so the enzymes are dead. So does it really count? But to most people, that is one serving of vegetables. To me, that's just a bunch of, you know, it's worthless. It just fills your stomach up a little bit.
Yeah, the one of the things that the cruciferous vegetables have in them is called DIM, or 1,3-endocarbinol.
Yes.
And the statistics on that are very interesting. I put all my women who are in perimenopause on it, because it reduces the risk of breast cancer 45% and all other cancers 35%. It's actually a very, very good preventative that when women are in perimenopause, they have periods about every 3 weeks and there's more estrogen in perimenopause, so you should increase your progesterone and take Indiplex, or, you know, Indiplex is the name of the supplement that has that in it. That actually will help you decrease your risk of breast, uterine, and ovarian cancer and other cancers, but all the hormonal cancers in women.
But I look at also a little bit of what I call synergy. In other words, you take a chemical isolate in a supplement. Is that the same as a whole food? Let's just take vitamin A, carotene. You've got a carrot, and you've got this capsule that's beta carotene. Okay,
right.
But there's some other related chemical structures in the carrot, very close to the carotene, but they're not beta carotene, that you don't find in the chemical isolate. So which is better? You know, I think Mother Nature, God provided us with, there's something about having some of these related chemicals that overall things work better. The other thing, too, is here's what I tell my patients. I hold my hand up with my fingers out, and I say, here is a Tinker Toy model of vitamin C. Now, look at the mirror image of that in a mirror. Now, take that out and try and match them up. They're close, but they're not exactly the same. Well, in nature, you've got one structure. When you make it chemically, a chemical synthetic, it may be the isomer, the mirror image. So, on paper, yes, I'm taking my vitamin C. Your body says, bull, it's tying up the receptor sites with this garbage that isn't working. So the other thing that people need to be aware of also. But again, to me, instead of just going on the internet and looking for a magic bullet, they do need some kind of professional guidance.
Well, you do. It's a complicated thing. There's lots and lots of things we consider before we make supplement recommendations. And for those of you out there who aren't familiar with Dr. John Boyk, it's B-O-I-K. I first met Dr. Boyk when he was a fellow at MD Anderson. He was a traditional Chinese medical doctor who was studying cancer in a whole new way. He wrote a book called Natural Compounds in Cancer Therapy, which, in my opinion, is the best book ever on how cancer forms. And all of the things, he goes through seven stages of cancer from the formation to the time it metastasizes, and really has a great explanation of each stage and then what natural compounds block each stage. And nutraceuticals in cancer therapy are high doses of nutrients that block these different stages. And if you read his book, and then you'll have a much better understanding of what we know of some of the scientific formation of cancer, because it's not just, you know, one day you're cancer-free and the next day you have cancer. It's usually, in gradual in this biological terrain we were talking about. So I'd recommend that book to the listeners so they can understand better what is going on. And then I also recommend that they go read the information on the Internet on Dr. Hammer and his new biological German medicine. And then, of course, we recommend you read Surviving Cancer, Dr. Joe's book, The Use of Complementary and Alternative Methods in the Treatment of Breast Cancer, because he has a lot of really, really good information in here on some of the things we've been talking about today.
I've got a question for you real quick.
Sure.
With your patients, do you allow a liberation day? In other words, and this is just what I will do with my patients. Sometimes I'll just tell them to take one day of the week off and just forget everything, you know, if they've been following things pretty good, because I do feel like they can stay in balance pretty good. Or you practice everything really good and you go to your granddaughter's birthday party. Don't be afraid to eat that piece of cake, you know, that sort of thing. Tell me how you approach that.
Well, it's an idea I'm going to have to entertain. I think it depends on the patient. A lot of my patients come in and they wouldn't think of eating a piece of cake even without cancer. You see what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They're kind of self nuts to begin with. So it really depends on what, how much they feel they're being restricted. I think psychologically that is a good tactic. If it depends on what they do with that information too. If they eat junk food all day and cake, you may actually undo what you're doing. I think what I might do is allow them to have that piece of cake, but tell them to take buffer pH and some chromium and other supplements that I know that will help decrease the damage done by that. You know, you can actually have your cake and eat it too if you know how to counter each of the things, the acidity and the sugar. So I think you can, but I would probably add something in there, ask them to take some extra supplements at the end of the day if they did that.
Okay. Well, if you're not going to let me eat my granddaughter's birthday cake, I'm not going to come to you as a doctor then.
Well, that's the difference in our population. You're treating more the more middle America, and I'm probably treating more the the health food, vegetarian.
Well, and see, yeah, because that's a different level. If they're really on that end of the scale where they're doing things, very big, good quality to begin with. Yeah, I mean and they still developed a cancer, that sort of thing. Yeah, they
right.
need to be more restrictive. Yeah, you've got to look at all those things.
Yeah, you remember Paul McCartney's wife?
Yes.
Linda Eastman, or I don't know her last name, Kodak, I guess. Anyway, she developed breast cancer even with an incredibly clean life. It does happen. That's where the biological conflict stuff comes in.
Right. No, and that's what you've got to look at. And sometimes I look at cancer development as being a way out for some patients.
Right. That's absolutely true. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Is there anything you would like to share with our audience?
No, I think we covered a lot of ground there. And, I do like patients to be informed because, physicians are teachers. Lay it out on the table so you can understand it as a patient and then take it and fit it into your lifestyle. That's what I like to do. But, don't try and look at things off the Internet and make your own decisions without guidelines. That's a hard way to do it.
Yeah, it is. You do need people who are familiar with all of the math, so to speak, to help guide you on this, because there's a lot of things out there that are very expensive and not all that helpful. Before we leave, I want to tell a little story. I grew up in Lawrence, Kansas, and I see that you grew up in Kansas as well. In Lawrence, Kansas, that's where the University of Kansas was, and there was a bar at the end of the street where the university was that was called the Rock Chalk Cafe. And the sheriff shut it down when I was in high school, saying that it was a haven for drugs. But then it reopened the next week, and it was called the New Haven. So that brings us to the last point, that humor and laughter and having a good time and wanting to stay on the planet are the most important ingredients for getting over cancer, without a doubt.
Exactly.
So thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Joe. We appreciate it. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Marie Jones on The Trinity Secret, The Power of Three, and The Code of Creation. And then the next week, we are going to be interviewing Elizabeth Fayette, Paving It Forward. The next week, Dr. Greg Corbin, Beyond Reason, Lessons from the Loss of a Gifted Child. And then Richard Sachs, BBD, Frequency of Genius. We have the Noetic Science Meeting for October. Will be Sherry Murray presenting lymphatic drainage techniques. Sherry is now driving, or she's right next to me. Thank you, Sherry, for driving so I could do this radio show. And that will be the third Thursday of October at 7:15 at the Dunwoody office. Thank you so much, Dr. Joe, for sharing everything you know. I learned a lot. I'm going to look up these liposomal things and helping. I think that that's really, really an important thing, especially with what's going on with the attack of vitamin C and maybe even later on IV glutathione. I think things are going to get attacked, anything that goes IV that works. So we need to have alternative methods. Thanks a lot for joining us. We've been interviewing Dr. Joe on his book, Surviving Cancer, The Use of Complementary and Alternative Methods in the Treatment of Breast Cancer.